sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Go, run, go.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
We just talk about all the time. Yes, we do.
All right. But you see, now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
All right, but now that's my fault because we're talking about it.
No.
All right.
It's my fault for not being bothered.
Hey, it's Loveline. Listen, that stuff has to come in here before the show starts.
He ragged you for
it. I know we've never brought it up before. Here's the thing. Here's how the show works. Christopher Tyus is here now. I bring up stuff that I think is sort of...
important?
Nah, not necessarily important. It just falls under the heading of we decided. Here's how a normal radio show would run. Normal radio show would have an extra mic for the guest, would have chairs that didn't sit on the floor, and the coffee wouldn't come into the host right at the beginning of the show each time, and Drew would say thanks, and you'd hear the door close.
But neither would the host arrive a minute and a half before the show started.
Yeah, wearing mucklucks, I might
add. There is that. There is that piece.
I get it. You're on radio.
It's good. It's a valid point, but but here's the deal. The deal. I'm the host. I do what I want.
That's
there
right.
You go.
That's
you're, right. The big, you're the big
you're
dog.
Right.
That's
you're right.
All. All right.
There you go.
Now here's how the show works. Then I make a couple, and there's really there's no hierarchy. There's nothing goes on over here. 9 months ago, I announced we have to get out of here before this theater that's built, this monstrosity next to us, is finished. They're putting the paint is now drying, and they're putting the finishing touches on the place. We'll go nowhere. Drew will do nothing. Nothing will happen. It'll never happen. Once in a blue moon, well, not once a blue moon. Well, every couple of weeks, I say, look, we got to have this way, and somebody says, okay, and then it doesn't happen, and Drew says, oh, don't worry about it, and diffuses the whole thing. Drew, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. It must be something.
But you understand if I say to Brian, we got to have the coffee in here before the show starts, and you say, doesn't bother me.
No.
That just diffuses the whole thing.
No. I'll stand behind you, but you asked me, doesn't that bother you? You asked me that, and I said, no. I don't even notice it.
Right.
That's me. That's
all
me.
Right.
But I'll stand behind you. I'll
Drew
stand behind
have a,
you.
Drew doesn't have a whole lot of Gandhi in him, whereas you do, Adam. A lot of Gandhi in him.
You
take a stand.
Ganja, I think.
Puss. Shut Drew's mic off. Christopher Tyus is our guest tonight. Christopher, you know from Tyus and stand-up. And
my new drama pilot at NBC that has not been picked up yet.
Oh, really?
I did a drama, full-on drama.
I could see you doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I could too.
Scared the hell out of me because my body's so used to getting to a punchline.
Right.
So you know you feel when you tell a joke and it doesn't work?
Yeah.
Felt like that the entire shoot.
Really?
Yeah, just thought that.
But the pressure's off. I mean, you're not supposed to be funny.
Yeah, but it's like a heroin addiction, though. You just needed it. I needed the release of the laughter.
Or the protection, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm a tough guy. I play badass at it.
What is the premise of it?
It's called Future Tense. Really cool idea. It's basically Law and Order, but in the future. And I play Alexander Chase.
Yeah.
He's
plays by his own rules.
Oh, he plays by his own rules, definitely. Kind of a Bobby Kennedy guy. You know, he doesn't take any crap. He runs the Techno Crimes Task Force. So when genetic crimes comes down, I get involved in the genetic crime, you know.
Is this kind of a...
It's pretty cool, man.
Born Identity kind of vibe?
It's a little Minority Report, I guess.
I mean Minority Report. Crime fighting in the future.
Born Identity, that was like the little wimpy guy who was the superhero.
Wrong one. Yeah,
no,
I meant the other one.
No, we have genetic crime where like people have like they had a kid that was good at basketball, so in the doctors could manipulate genes in the future, and like this one kid we find he's got bones growing out of his body and his head's all just weird.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool show. It's pretty cool.
No,
I didn't pick it up.
But I say things like they go.
Well, doesn't know
we don't
yet.
Know yet. I got a couple weeks.
Keep
don't
our
say
fingers
you didn't
crossed.
Pick it
hey,
up.
Drew, you're jinxing it,
what
man.
What is that about?
You're jinxing
it. It's like Stand by the Liquid thing.
I can't believe they didn't pick it up. That's what I'm saying. Like,
really
what?
Cool.
That doesn't make sense.
Good job. Nice cover.
Okay.
Yeah, but I say things like one of my assistants comes down and goes, he says, a hacker's crashed the satellite grid. There's tin. It's raining tin. And I go, let's go. And I walk off down the steps with four guys behind me in slow motion. It's fun.
You know, my plan for fighting crime in the future is...
Still napping and masturbating.
But I can fight crime for myself if we have the technologies in place.
Good point.
I would like every one of our great minds working on a lie detector that was 100% foolproof.
There you go.
And we'll toss out the jury system. No judges. You can't buy your way anywhere. It's a very simple. And there's not, you know, he's been arraigned, but he's been waiting to come to trial for 16 months. None of that rotting away, nothing. It's just, and you treat it like the breathalyzer, which is cop pulls you over, tells you got a blow into the breathalyzer. You can say no, But that's pretty much just an admission of guilt.
Right.
You're still going to get the 502. This is that. They pull you over. Hey, we wouldn't even have had to get O.J. out of his car.
They shoot you. And basically, if you lied, you did it, boom, they shoot you in the car. And then they have a tow truck coming
to flatbed.
Well,
it depends. No, we don't always shoot you. If it's, you
well, what
know,
if the guy did it, though? If he said, guilty of murder, you shoot him right in the car.
It's not all murder. If you stole a bicycle, nothing.
Well, I wasn't saying shooting
a
bicycle.
You
said O.J.
Oh, O.J., yeah. O.J. gets shot. But okay, if he did it, we got to see.
If he did it, we got to check the data.
This is the point. Now, here's the whole thing. The innocent, if you didn't do anything, this is the greatest technology in the world. Right. There's not the inner city guy who's been sent up the river by the all-white jury.
Right,
there's
right.
None of this going on.
We don't have to even worry about innocent until proven guilty.
No driving while black? You wouldn't get that at all?
No.
Just stop for no reason?
Well, that we'd still do.
Okay, there you go.
Come on.
But Lacey
Don't
Peterson,
get
husband.
Crazy. Don't get crazy. Come on.
There is profiling needed in this country. Is that what you're saying, Adam?
Absolutely. Please. You're blonde. You're cool.
Yeah, I'm a 6'2 blonde white guy.
You're good, yeah. But we just put this in place. We come up with a test. We test this device. We all decide. It becomes an international thing, and that's it. There's none of this, you know, you're rounding everyone up. You put them on Guantanamo Bay or you put them into terrorists. You do everything. Everyone's awaiting trial. The court systems are all clogged up. And it works with everything. Some guy says he fell in a casino. We just say, did you do it on purpose or not? Once we figure it out, boom, we got it. And then it's done. All the trial lawyers are out of place. All the judges, no work anymore.
It's genius.
Huh?
Yeah. And Lacey Peterson's husband, we'd already know. We wouldn't have to go through the whole thing.
Right. This thing's going to drag on.
Oh, it's going to be horrible.
And it's going to cost millions of dollars.
Right.
What? Do we need this?
No.
All right.
No. And you know what? The whole thing about that is that, we've all, if you're in a long-term relationship, you've thought about killing your partner. You just have. At one point.
Every day.
You thought about
every day.
It. You have.
Every
Not
day.
Every day, but once in a while.
I've thought about killing Drew's wife.
But you have those moments where you go, man, if they were just dead. And you don't act on it. You're driving back from the Home Depot. You got the big bag and the shovel. But you don't act on it.
Don't move.
You think, I'm going to turn some dirt over. You get there, you make a decision. You have the concrete bags in the back of the car. And you go, you know what? I'm fixing the driveway. You don't do it.
You're right.
So, anyway, this guy went too far, is all I'm saying.
I think we can all agree that he probably did. Although I like there's little...
No, he was 10 feet from Mexico with 10 grand in his pocket, his brother's ID, and a different haircut. Nah, he didn't do
it. Picture?
He could have been going over there to buy some tile or something. We don't
there
know.
You go.
See the picture with the big beard down the white? He's got blonde. You see the picture? And his friend says, he was swimming in the pool, that's why he got blonde.
Yeah,
sure.
So, a pool of peroxide. He was a peroxide plant.
A couple days in the pool,
you've seen Mark Spitz before.
Went to Eminem's house. He went to Eminem's house and went swimming in Eminem's pool. That's why.
Yeah. It's all right. Listen, you don't dump the body where you said you're going fishing. That's a bad thing.
Because I found it directly where the boat was fishing.
And, is that right?
Yeah.
Like his lure was next to it. From fishing. It's how, it was right there in the bay, right there.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, because what happens? What the hell happens on Christmas Eve that fight breaks out?
I don't know. And, and here's the...
There's no chestnuts roasting on that open fire. Bam. What?
Well, you know what's interesting is something I have to contend with in treatment all the time is that people with certain kinds of personality disorders attract other kinds of personality disorders. And so people with borderline disorders go to sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
And she had that kind of wild look in her eye, that kind of borderline. If you look at her picture, it's because you thought, like, whoa, that's energy.
Yeah,
and
she was energetic.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I was saying to someone at my office today, don't these guys watch TV shows? I mean, speaking of your future crime show, I have learned how to commit the perfect murder just from sitting home and watching the History Channel, watching all these forensic
court
shows,
court
TV, and everything. First thing is, something happens to your wife, they go right to the husband.
Yep.
And then the next move is there an insurance claim put out on the wife? And it's always inevitable that a week or two months earlier, they take out these big life insurance policies on them. And now,
listen, you and I know people follow patterns.
Yeah.
In all things.
But this guy did everything. Adam's right. This guy did everything wrong. He had insurance policy, went fishing on Christmas Eve with his 8-month pregnant wife. It was like sold her car like 14 minutes after the cop showed up at his house. He's like, I'm trading the car. And wife, she's not here. And, it was like that fast. He did everything he wasn't supposed to do.
They found a receipt for ankle weights at his
house.
Come on. And he can't produce the ankle weights. And ankle weights is the kind of, like, my dad has the ankle weights I saw him wearing in 1964, and he still has them.
You don't misplace them. Ankle weights, you're not just saying, what the hell? Have my ankle weights. You don't just lose them in the mall.
It's not like you're jogging with ankle weights. One flies off, and you don't notice it for 4 or 5 miles. You look down. Wait a minute.
Well, if one did fall off, you'd make that big circle because you'd be off, and you'd eventually come back to it, pick it up, and go on straight.
That's right. It would just pull you to the left. Slowly veer. Slowly veer. Oh, yes. That's happened to me many times. Same with the wrist weights and the masturbation.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's.
That's why I break to the left now.
I like the guys who wear the ankle weights to work as if something's really going on. So I don't got the time to work out, but what I did is I took this coffee can, I filled it with cement, and I dropped it down my pants.
There you go. I'm working out right now.
Drag about 40 pounds around with me every day.
I have patients saying stuff like that all the time. They go, well, I walk from my car and up a flight of stairs every day.
That's right.
So I don't need to work out.
That's valid exercise?
I don't need to work out. What are you talking about?
Drew, what about the ankle weights? Not all that does is really flatten your arches, right? Hurt your joints.
If that.
Scott?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, me and my girlfriend, we've been on for like a month and a half now. And I didn't have an erection or nothing, but I ejaculated.
Yeah.
While you're with the girl?
Yeah.
You were super excited?
No, I wasn't at all.
You weren't?
No.
You didn't have an erection, you weren't excited, but something came out of you.
And she wasn't doing anything to you?
Well, she was like rubbing my leg, but that's it.
Do you have any are you on medication?
No.
Nothing. Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Were you loaded at the time?
Was I what?
Were you intoxicated or anything?
No. I did a little bit of drugs, but not much.
What? What'd you do?
Weed.
Mm. Yeah, still, this is a bad sign.
Casual ejaculator, that's not good. Just for no reason.
Incidental ejaculator.
Incidental, yeah, exactly.
And no sensation.
No.
You didn't feel like you were having an orgasm.
No.
How'd you know you had one?
Yeah.
I just felt it.
Maybe you got.
Maybe
you
just
felt
urine.
It where? On your leg?
I felt the wetness.
Maybe a pigeon crapped on you.
How do you know it wasn't urine?
I went in the bathroom and checked.
Wow. No. Drew says no. Drew says bogus.
No, it's not.
Do you masturbate?
Yeah.
Same stuff comes out of you?
Yeah.
And does it, just checking, are you getting an erection when you do that?
Yeah.
And that works?
Yeah.
And you have the sensation?
Yeah.
Had you just ejaculated recently before this all happened?
This morning.
Before. No, but I mean before this spontaneous stuff came out?
Yeah.
How long before the spontaneous emission had you ejaculated?
About 6 hours.
Maybe it's possibly something left over from that. Possibly.
Yeah, once in a while.
A little bit of residual there?
Yeah.
My flume is not long enough, really, to... Yeah. But I imagine if you had a little dog leg or something and something could get caught up, you move the right way and it comes out. He says it happened twice in the same evening. I don't think he knows his sack the way we do. Scott?
Yeah?
This happened twice in the same evening?
No, two different times.
Two different times?
Yeah.
How far apart?
One was on Wednesday and the other one was on Saturday.
Are you sexually active?
No.
What should he do, Drew?
I wonder if it's some other kind of problem, like a lymphatic obstruction or something. There are other things that can drain out.
Why don't you have an erection when you're screwing around with your woman?
I don't know.
The rubbing your leg thing wasn't working, huh?
No.
Wow. But you're kissing and stuff?
No, not at the time.
You should see a urologist, though, just in case this is not semen, it's something else.
Like what? Like soul?
Like soul. But no, there can be lymphatic drainage, things like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird things. I mean, during my wife's pregnancy, we had a very large break in our sexual activity, and the blood came out with the... And I went to the doctor, and he said, you're not having sex, are you?
Oh, really?
And I was like, well, you know, I thought it was an invitation. I was like, you know, yeah, she's pregnant, but I can, you know, we'll get to something later. And he said that you need to, which is great. I basically got a prescription
for masturbation.
Or have my wife, here, get a little help. Hon, come on. I'm sick. and she took care of it.
Or I could go in for therapy.
Exactly. I got a number from the doctor.
I sit in a whirlpool and someone gives me a BJ.
A little bit of prescription.
Wow. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 20? What's up?
Well,
hold on. I can't believe a doctor had to tell you to beat off. Well, what are you thinking?
I was feeling guilty because my wife was pregnant. She was upset, and there was all these hormones going on. I was feeling guilty.
That's where I retreat to my world of masturbation. It's like, Calgon, take me away. that's where I go into my own little world.
World of masturbation.
Thank you.
World of masturbation.
Sarah?
Yeah.
You're at Disney, California? Isn't that new?
You're 20. What's up?
Married for about a year to a guy.
Yeah.
I have a baby. Mm-hmm. But in the past month, I've been having like these really detailed very sexual dreams about virgin girls.
Is that your phone beeping?
Yes, it's going to die.
Okay.
What do you mean virgin girls?
Well, it's like in the dream, I'm this naughty, experienced girl trying to get these little virgin girls in bed. And
Well, maybe that has to do with your young child or something like that.
I don't know.
No, I'm not saying you want to screw your kid. I'm just saying maybe those feelings have crept in. Like you have a young virgin. Do you have a girl?
Yes.
Where did you get the feelings that you were so naughty?
I don't know. It's just in the dream.
But do you express those kinds of feelings when you're with your husband?
Well, we don't really have sex.
Okay. So how come?
It's
going to take longer than the phone will allow, I'm afraid.
Well, Sarah.
Yeah.
How old's your girl?
She's 15 months.
15 months.
And no sex with your husband.
It's been about 3 months.
You don't consider that somewhat abnormal?
I mean, I don't know. My parents never really had sex.
Well, how would you know?
My parents never did it once.
I don't know. I just, you talk to your mom and
no. No, you don't. No, yeah, you run out of the. I take a couple of sofa pillows and each time I head like a grilled cheese sandwich and run out of the house.
A lot of that. Just pick an old James Taylor song and sing it as loud as you can as you scream from the house.
I'm even scared. I'm scared to ask any woman over 30 when she says, I had a little minor surgery. Or, oh, I'm okay. All right. Hey, God bless you. I'll show you out something. No, I don't even know what it is. All right. So listen, Sarah. Is it you that doesn't want to have sex or is it him?
Oh, I don't.
Why? You don't.
I don't get off with the guy.
All right, what happened to you?
Oh, here we go.
Anything, something molested?
Yes,
anything?
Oh, yes.
I was raped when I was 14.
No, before that. When you were 5.
Younger. I love you guys just blew it off. Nope, before that. Yeah. Like, that wasn't enough.
You know, that's really happened.
That happens. They get raped as a teenager because of the victimization when they're between 5 and 8.
I listen to the show, too. I just know it's funny. You guys just blew it right off.
Abusive dad? Alcoholic dad, abusive dad.
Now, where did you get the dirty girl thing? Where did you learn that you were wicked?
I don't know. I guess everyone thinks of me as this sweet, innocent little girl.
Yeah, well, where did you start to think of yourself as wicked?
But that's something you chose, by the way. That sweet little girl thing, you chose that because of something that happened. You chose to be
really
that.
What happened to me?
All right, her phone is I'm going to go into a seizure. I'm going to have a seizure soon. Okay, here's the thing. You need to have sex with your husband. I think this is someone who was pregnant at a pretty young age, like 18 years old, maybe younger. She probably looks at herself as a little naughty, and she probably looks at her young 15-month-old girl as sort of pure, and maybe there's some feelings of that. Plus, your dreams will spin stuff around sometimes. It doesn't necessarily translate into things.
That's true.
In the real world, but there's issues going on. There's issues going on with you and your husband on your kid's behalf. Why don't you work that out so you're not one of those
Let's get that relationship working.
Yeah, I mean, she also said she didn't get, her husband didn't get her off.
Never.
So right
never
there.
She said never with men.
Never with men. So right there, there's a little bit of hints. Why am I having these dreams?
Friend in kindergarten. Female friend in kindergarten.
Molested her?
Yeah.
All right, but everyone does it. Sarah?
Yeah?
Did your female friend, when you were young, did you guys have a sexual encounter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not that I remember, no.
All right, that goes down. But did you?
Well, I was with a girl before I was ever with a guy.
How old were you?
14.
14. Is that when it started?
Yeah.
And are you lesbian? Maybe.
I don't know. I look at girls like when I'm walking around.
Okay. Listen. No more kids. No more kids for a long time, and figure out things with your husband. Make the marriage work. All right.
Or not.
Yeah.
Or is the guy an alcoholic? Is he abusive? Is he?
He's bipolar.
All right, he's got to be on his medication.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
Sarah, what happened?
Why are you letting him hang out with your kid, too?
He's a really good father. I'm joking. I'm not joking. He's like...
You're Freudian slipping all over the place. I don't know how you're standing up right now. Come on.
He loves his child, but that doesn't make him a good father if he's bipolar and he's not taking his medication.
He doesn't act bad towards her, just towards me. I mean, we fight a lot, but...
Believe me, your kid soaks that up.
Yeah, of course. It leaves implicit memories in the child's brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, it's like anything. It's like saying, well, we smoke, but we don't blow it into the kid's face. But yeah, the kid's sitting in the room and it's sucking it up. You know, the kids suck up whatever's in the room.
I don't let the kid drink the Jack Daniels.
Yeah, I just get drunk.
I just drink until I go to sleep, and the kid sleeps on my chairs.
Try to make out with him a little bit, and then I go to bed. Oh, this is great. You know, it's funny. I was, I was a friend of my wife's got a little surgery, and as I was talking about this earlier. Please, everyone, understand that any woman over 33, when you hear she's a little outpatient program, it's a little minor surgery. That means it's in the vag. Don't talk.
Yep.
Just nod.
Unless it's sexually enhancive. Unless you did something that actually made the goods better. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then it's okay. It's going to be there. You don't have to talk about it. But
what she have done?
I don't know. That's my point. Here's my point is I have no idea what the procedure was. I don't ask. Because when I hear minor surgery, female over 33, I go right to, how's she doing? She's doing good? Great. She's doing fine? All went great? Great. What do you want to eat? Want to eat? Let's eat. So I don't want to talk about it. But it was really funny. So then later on in the day, I saw the girl. And it was the generic, hey, you doing good? Uh-huh. You look good? Seems fine. I still have no idea what she had done. It could have been brain surgery. I'm not asking. But it was so funny. I was just standing there. And later on, another friend of mine came wandering over at my house, and I heard him talking, sir, but it was like out of the corner of my ear, you know. I was like, oh, you did? Well, what happened? What'd you get? And I started to look down and turn away. It's like, that's an ovaries. And I just realized, yep, there it is. See, he asked. He was stupid. He made the mistake. He got it, and it's right. Something with the vagina. It's always... Drew, is it always something with it's the vagina?
The pelvis.
The pelvis until proven otherwise.
Exactly. I can't even. We had when the baby was born. The doctor's like, "You want to see? Nope. Stand on this side. Nope. I'm gonna be I'm up against the backboard right now. I'm not looking down. Just have the kid. Nope.
I don't want to know. Chris, I've said the same thing to Drew many times. I think as guys, we may have outsmarted ourselves for a while.
Oh, yeah.
When we decided we had to film and help and breathe
there.
And do the whole thing.
I think it was women asked us because, you know, they invented a class, push and breathe. Guess what? No one's forgotten to do that. Push and breathe. No woman's ever went, breathe. Oh, thank God you were here. That's never happened.
I know.
Why are we there?
I mean,
the women, thank you for bringing us in. I appreciate it. It's nice to be a member of the team. But you know what?
The old days, we were
smoking cigars and we were drinking with our friends at the bar. My dad tells a great story of almost getting in a bar fight while I was being born. And you know what? That's a story I want.
Yeah, me too. I do not want to be there. Yeah,
you're just there to be a punching bag, by the way.
So she can tell you how you've
ruined her and nearly killed her, and it's all because of you and your fault.
My wife's so sweet. She's turning to me. She goes, I don't want to have a baby anymore. And the doctor said, if you don't start pushing right now, I talked about this on the side show tonight. If you don't start pushing right now, I'm cutting off the epidural. And she went, and the baby went out in one push. She was in labor for literally 3 days. Just went, bink, and there was clamps hanging down off her, down there. Just clamp, and the doctor missed it, and the baby hooked one of the clamps and wouldn't let go of it. Just hanging there. And the doctor's like, look at that. Yeah, it's not cervix de soleil. Pick it up.
Here's my whole thing. Women want us to be a lot of places that we don't want to be, weddings, functions, birthing rooms. And the fact that we really don't want to be there doesn't really factor in for them at all. As a matter of fact, it makes them want us to be there even more, which as guys, we don't really have. If you find out that your wife does not want to be somewhere, it's better that she not be there. You don't want to be there with someone who doesn't want to be there.
Right. But chivalry, see, it's the last bastion of chivalry.
When I have a kid,
you're here at this place that you would hate more than anything, and you bitched all the way to the front door. Now shut up, quit bitching, and enjoy it.
Christopher Titus is here tonight. Christopher's going to be down at the Wheel Turn Theater this Saturday, is it?
We're doing a benefit. Me and some friends invented a charity called the Insight Project. It's for kids at 8 to 17 who have their adulthood's insight. See how it means two things?
Yeah.
And Jay Leno. Here's the show. Jay Leno, Bill Maher, Anthony Clark, John Lovitz, and myself. Jillian Barbary is going to do a little intro at the beginning of the show. And at the Wiltern Theater, and we're actually doing really well. We've only got the upper deck left, and the tickets are hauling. And it's going to be a great show, and it's all going to Hathaway House, Hathaway's Children's Services. And these kids on average, 22 foster homes on average.
Really?
And the school kind of takes them and raises them and then puts them out in the world as neighbors instead of criminals. So it's kind of L.A. helping L.A. So, yeah,
wow,
come on down to the
Wiltern.
Come on down. And Leno, Leno and Marv were great about it. They were like, yeah, I'll do it. Jay said, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll give you more information about where you can get the tickets and all that again this Saturday. Christopher Titus is here tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. Christopher, you remember from Titus? We'll keep our fingers crossed for the new drama.
That, Future Tense.
Maybe coming on NBC?
NBC, man. I signed. Actually wrote an action comedy for NBC also that they bought.
Oh, that's
and then
good.
They dismissed. But we're still in the loop on that.
He is here tonight plugging a very worthwhile charity organization that he's involved with that's doing a benefit concert this Saturday at the Wiltern. Wiltern is a great big old historic theater, and it's easy to figure out where it is because it's got Wilshire and Western right in the title. The Wiltern Theater on the corner of Wilshire and Western.
I would think this would sell out in moments.
I just don't think that, you know...
People are aware?
No one's... I don't think even people got aware of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when are you going to see a show where Leno and Marr are on the same stage, and Lovitz is doing comedy, Anthony Clark, we're getting him, you know, on, and then myself.
And this again, this Saturday night. And if you want the information, you can call 818-461-9303. Or go to Ticketmaster.com. I'll give that number out later on in the show. Let's talk to Bobby, who's 15. Bobby?
Hey.
Hey.
I got a question for Christopher Titus.
Okay, Bobby.
I was watching the Discovery Channel, I think, one day, and I saw you customizing a car.
I drove it down to the radio station, thinking there was a nice open parking lot, not this monolith that's next to it.
No.
Now I'm parked in a construction zone with a... Yeah. Yeah, it's actually here.
Yeah.
Cool. I wanted to know, how much did that cost to get done?
It almost cost me my marriage. Just under that. It cost me just under my marriage.
Wow.
Is that a Chip Fuchs car?
Chip Fuchs did it. And, my wife and I, when the bills got to a certain point when my wife basically said...
Car or me.
Yeah, car or me, yeah. And I had to sell, I'm selling my Viper because of it, so I can make her happy.
She's gone.
Yeah. No, she's out.
And what is the car?
It's a started 1956 Chevy that I had since I was 18.
Oh, it's your
really?
It's a car that you had.
Yeah. We chopped it all up. C5 Corvette suspension all the way under it. The new Corvettes.
Mm-hmm.
T56 transmission, Ramjet 350. It's all customized. Everything's been stretched, lengthened, opened, changed. 69 Fairlane windshield.
It's really. When you start getting into that kind of fabrication, it's really artistry.
Yeah, it's old world coach building.
And I imagine it starts to add up.
Especially when you had a TV show and you're just woohoo, here's some more money, and then it gets canceled and the car's halfway done.
Yeah,
that wasn't fun. That was a lot of
people. I have a couple of cars too, and people get sort of angry about them. Sometimes they go, what are you doing with all these cars? And you go, I like cars. And they go, are you going to drive? Are you going to drive them? It's like, not at once, a-hole.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, what do you do? It's like, listen, people have baseball cards and comic books, like porcelain dolls. People collect things, you know? You happen to like cars.
You don't go off on the porcelain doll thing? What, do you sleep with them all? What, do you play with them all? You don't do that?
You play with them all at once? you do tea?
Instead of a little village? That what you can do? Instead of a little village with all these dolls? Why do you have all these dolls?
Yeah, I know. What are you going to do with that mitt that Carl Yastrzemski signed? You going to play with it?
Yeah.
You going to play with it?
The ball in the loose case? Come on, hit it around. Let's go.
Let's go.
You use it or what? Come on.
Play some pepper. Come on, pussy.
Baseball cards. Let me put them in my spokes. Come on. Will you use them? Will you not using them?
Yeah, at least with a car, yeah, you'll go out and drive the thing.
And you'll be the coolest guy there.
Yeah, you can't drive
them
all
at once.
Give the
thumbs up or the finger, but at least you'll make an impression.
Drew's that way, actually. We're making fun of it. Although Drew,
oh, really?
Drew doesn't like cars, but he likes to think of himself as a person who likes cars.
Yeah.
Would you say that's fair?
I'm like Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
What's that?
He likes chocolate, but never gets to eat any.
Yeah. I mean, Drew, I've known you for 8 years now.
Yeah.
You've spoke enthusiastically about sports cars.
That time. Two cars.
You've leased.
And bought.
You for yourself, you've leased two cars.
Nope,
since I've known
bought
you.
One, leased one.
Which ones you buy?
The 540.
Bought the 540, drove it for four or five years, sold that, then you leased the second car. These are not sports cars. These are not second cars. You've had one car the whole time.
Yeah, leased car wasn't yours. It never was yours.
One time. I had to put the tint on his 540.
You let another man tint your car?
You never let another dude tint your car, bro.
Never let him modify your own car, man. What's that about?
Okay.
Jared?
But his porcelain doll collection's amazing.
Jared, you're 17.
Yeah.
What's up? What are you going to do with all those antique watches? You going to wear them all at once?
Go ahead.
I got a question about me and my girlfriend. Sometimes, like, a day or two after I, like, finger,
yeah.
I'll get, like, a breakout on my hand, mm-hmm. just in a certain part on it.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of looks like poison ivy.
I promise that's not what it is. I promise it's not poison ivy. Does it hurt or burn?
It itches.
It itches.
And, like, when I itch it, it feels better, but then it kind of, like, burns.
Is that herpes of the hand?
There is such a thing.
There is?
It's called herpetic whitlow, but it usually gets in around the fingernail.
No, it's, like, on the side of my hand, you know, opposite the thumb.
Well, maybe, does she shave down there?
No.
Mm-hmm. Then there goes that theory. But
it could be an allergy to something. I mean, there could be some sort of an allergic reaction. But
we're both virgins, so.
All right. How much fingering goes on in your relationship?
Every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once every 2 weeks.
You understand that, Adam, can't you?
Yeah, the bi-monthly fingering.
Yeah.
I've not fingered in like 9 years. Like, there's just no fingering. At a certain point, there's no fingering that goes on in your relationship.
Bi-monthly fingering. You can get that book at Borders, actually. The bi-monthly fingering.
It's pop-up. It's great. Bi-monthly fingering by Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. So, Jared, is this aggressive fingering? I mean, might you be irritating yourself?
I doubt it.
So it's probably some sort of what's called a contact dermatitis. Is there any... What is she wearing when this happens?
Clothes.
Okay.
Jeans, underwear.
You're getting in around or under the underwear and jeans?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it sounds like it's this part of the hand right here he's describing.
The lower
part. So this is
which
resting
part?
Up against...
Opposite of
the... This is resting against something while this is doing the work. And is that nice?
I'm trying to figure out exactly I'm a Quincy all of a sudden now. I got my hand down trying to... But, me and Drew are both standing going, okay, let me see, what position would that hand be in?
But if this hits any nickel or metal, that's a common cause of contact dermatitis.
Oh, hitting a button from the jeans?
A zipper, because maybe it's going down here. A zipper will do that.
Well, here's the thing, too, about sex or fingering, especially when you're 15, 16, 17 years old, is... You will put your hand in a position it's never been in and keep it there for an hour and a half and not stop, and you will not feel the discomfort that you would normally feel.
Right.
If you were doing something, if writing a term paper, trying to fix a lawnmower or something.
Your hand would never go in that position.
You'd take your hand out, you would shake it loose, you would say, I'm tired, I need a break.
But you're like a hand triathlete when you're down there. You become like the Iron Man triathlon thing.
That's right. It's like that high you hit as a runner.
Exactly.
Where you can't feel. You had a cramp at mile 15, but at mile 20, you don't even feel your feet hit the ground.
It's just euphoria. You hit the wall, but then you got through it, and now everything's great.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't, Drew, spoken about this in a while, which is this is why people wear the skin off their kneecaps and didn't know it when they were having sex. If they were laying carpet or something, they would go, my knee, it hurts, I'm going to stop.
And by the way, it's... primarily men that do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Women have their wits about them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they will go, I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah.
How many times have I heard that?
Yeah. Well, they're so busy trying to figure out where to time that orgasm that they're all up in their head, and they can, I mean, the fake orgasm, and they can, they know where they're at.
Right.
Guys get a little bit lost. All right, let's talk to Tasha, who's 23. Tasha?
Yes.
What's up?
I have problems having an orgasm without picturing somebody hurting me,
mm-hmm.
and I was just wondering what I could do about that.
You want to tell us where that came from?
I'm sorry, what?
You want to tell... Uh-oh, what was that?
Is that the phone?
Yeah, that's like the other line beeping. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Were you abused when you were younger?
Yeah.
Who did that?
My stepfather.
Mm-hmm. Physical?
Physical, and like he was into sodomy and...
Oh, so the whole thing. So
yeah.
What? One of the theories is that you sort of overwhelm the arousal centers in your brain. In order to feel sexual and aroused, you have to sort of achieve a very high level of stimulation again. And then the way you do that is sort of bringing back these overwhelming memories. And there are other, you know, it's just sort of a re-traumatization. It's not good to be needing
definitely.
That.
How old were you when this went on?
From like 2... Until I was like 11.
Fantastic.
And where's this guy now?
An address.
We're going to get him.
He's in prison.
Oh, good.
There you go. Good. Really? Surprise.
And your mom, are you angry at her?
Well, she overdosed on methadone, so, like...
She gone?
I guess so.
Did she die?
Yeah, she died.
Oh, how long ago?
3 years ago.
Hmm.
All right. So now you got mixed feelings about that.
She just slept all the time after, like, they got... Because the state made her get a divorce from him because they were going to take us away. So, like, she just slept all the time after that, so...
Okay.
Have you been in any counseling or anything?
Yeah, I'm in counseling right now, but they say that's just how I'm going to be. And, I just don't want it to be that way.
They say that's how you're going to be?
Well, everybody I've been to has been like, well, that's just how sex is going to be for me. He was into S&M and stuff, you know? So,
stepdad.
Is this some sort of discount counseling that they just said that's the way you're going to be? Sorry. Punch out. Well, thanks.
They just say that, like, there may not, that just may be how I have sex.
Well, I think we talk about this, that it's hard to rewire something that's been wired, especially start at age 2 with this wholesale abuse. What you can do is you can
pursue
a healthy life.
Yeah.
And, again, for her, it's like the analogy we make with people that have a predisposition to putting on weight. Your whole life's going to be a diet and an exercise routine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to work harder than a lot of people just to sort of maintain an average weight. She's probably going to have to work harder than most people to maintain an average degree of sanity in her relationships.
Absolutely.
And her intimacy.
Way harder. Way harder.
But it doesn't mean it's not something to shoot for.
Yeah, and the brain, although the wiring is set in her brain, we really don't know the limits of the plasticity, the capacity for change in the brain. And I don't know, I think about the three of us believe that there's always room.
Drug addict, drinking alcoholic, mom was mentally ill. I was on the road to, and I fell into a bonfire. And that, the doctor told me the next day, hey, man, as he's peeling the skin off my hands, he goes, when you fell in, did you breathe in or did you scream? And I said, I screamed. He goes, if you'd have breathed in the hot air, my face was in it. He said, you would have, your lungs would have collapsed and you'd have died. And I remember, it's my Reader's Digest moment, crystal clear. And after that, I changed my life. But some people need to go to that level to rewire. I mean, that's a major rewire.
You know, if
that's why I'm doing the benefit instead of asking them to push the kids into the fire.
That moment, you know, that moment of change, I'm absolutely fascinated by that moment.
It's epiphany.
Because that, I treat drug addicts all day long, and it's what we call getting it. And there's no one knows how to give somebody get it.
No.
How to get somebody to that point.
Push them into a bonfire. We do know. I do know how. It's just not really. It's not practiced in this country a lot.
It's not as safe as other maneuvers we might like to try.
I think your wife could drive someone into a bonfire. Even after like a long road trip. Or
you're just on her case tonight.
I'm just thinking about it. I'm looking out for you, bud. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. He is doing a benefit with Bill Maher, Jay Leno, and John Lovitz, and many other notables this Saturday night at the Will Turn Theater. You can go to Ticketmaster to find out. Go on their website, find out how to get tickets. Not too many left, so you got to hurry. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is in here tonight. Tomorrow night, who's coming in, Drew? John McGinley.
That's right.
That is from Scrubs.
I'm very excited about that.
Drew's favorite show.
It's my favorite show, other than Titus. Which I'm so pissed off it got canceled.
Almost used the F-word there.
He did.
All right.
I got a big mouth, Drew. I actually made the president of the network very angry.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
What did you do?
They wanted me to change it. It's got to be, take some of the edge out. No, I'm not doing it. And at one point, I put my head down on the desk at a meeting in front of all the heads of the network. And they gave me an idea, and I put my head down on the desk, and I shook my head, and I got up, and I go, do you guys even watch the show? And at that point, I pretty much knew. It's the wrong thing to say.
Is there
that's kind of a Corolla move, isn't it?
Well, the Corolla move is I'm saving you from yourself.
Yeah, saving you from yourself.
I've said many times.
And
people.
So I've learned the lesson now. Now I go, that's a great idea. Let's see if we can make that work.
Well, how many episodes did you do?
54. Here's how much I made them angry. We were 13 episodes from Short Run Syndication. And I didn't use any swear words, and I did it. Just my normal attitude, just me being me.
But can't you still syndicate shows, like, I saw, like, Action was syndicated after 8 episodes or 10 episodes. It's not syndication, but there's still a place that'll run.
Yeah, it's like on Trio. There's, like, Shouldn't Have Been Canceled and you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you got 50-something episodes of a good situation comedy, does it have to sit on a shelf for eternity, or is there an outlet for it?
I'm sure there will be. Someone will pick it up. The show is too funny, and Stacey Keach is too brilliant on it.
That's true. He was good. Yeah. RJ?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, first of all, you guys are awesome.
Great.
Yeah. It was a couple days ago after a party, and me and my girlfriend went home, and probably like 3 of my friends or so.
Yeah.
We were at my house, and me and my girlfriend were in my room.
Yeah.
And my friends were outside, right? And so, I don't know, me and my girlfriend were just doing my thing.
And
my friends were pissing me off and, like, knocking on the door. And they kind of scared me, and I slipped. And I made a, like, cut her with my fingernail.
Mm-hmm.
Her vagina.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not, like, a gash or anything, but...
Right. Blood drawn?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, you know, down there.
Yeah, it's no gynecologist.
But I could tell that it was a scrape, and I was just wondering if...
Did it hurt her immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah,
instantly you react to that.
I wonder if it was just all in his head or if she really went, wow, that hurt. Yeah. Well, what's the question?
Well, you know, is anything bad going to happen from that? Is she going to get an infection?
She should be fine.
No. The bad thing is 18 years from now when she's married and her husband goes, where'd you get that? My 14-year-old's finger banging me and a bunch of his friends banging on. Yeah. You know how it is.
By the way, wait about 3 months, and then during the school year, take those buddies that did that, and you know, you'd be partying with them in the car, do that road trip. Woo, we're having a good time Saturday night. And just dump them somewhere where there's roads.
I got back at them, don't worry.
Good.
What'd you do?
Oh, well, I don't know. I just, like, after she left, I'm like, it was kind of a funny thing. I don't know. It was after a party, so we were a little messed up anyway.
Okay.
I go up to my friend Devin, and I just take my finger and just shove it right in his mouth.
Yeah.
To get back
at him. Got him. Yeah.
That's good.
That's weird. And it weirded him out, too. Probably made him feel really weird about you for like the next 2 weeks. Good for you.
I used to pay the bullies back in my school by crying and masturbating alone.
There you go.
Yeah. All right there, RJ.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah. He didn't have a question. He's 14. He said, please, his punch. He got his hand somewhere other than a mitt, and he wanted to share it
but
with
I love you. I love your question, Drew, that he noticed it, but she didn't.
Yeah.
Put a big old scrape on it, and she just laid there. But I noticed it. I wanted to ask so I can tell her.
That's our callers.
Oh, yeah. No, that was just a bragging call.
I think so.
Shelly?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been smoking weed for about 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 7-8 years, and now when I don't get stoned, I have panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can get depressed, too, probably.
Well, not really, no.
Well, you will later.
That comes later, then.
And you get stoned every day?
Yeah, about 4 or 5 times, at least.
A day.
What's your question? All right, what's your question?
Well, I just wanted to know if I did, like, any permanent damage, like if I was to stop smoking while I still have panic attacks.
That's actually a hard question to answer. You probably will get better. You actually will get worse for about 6 months. You'll be associated with a pretty good depression usually, and then that will all kind of settle down. There are people that have permanent panic attacks, but those are usually people that are smoking pot and early in their sort of pot smoking career, they start getting panic. This, what you're manifesting is the usual situation with marijuana addiction, which is this drug that you love, all of a sudden stops working, and it's hard. When you stop, it even gets worse, and you're getting depressed and irritable all the time and forgetful. You start smoking more pot to try to get the effects back, and that kind of makes all the symptoms worse.
How do you get stoned 4 or 5 times a day?
I have a lot of free time.
You do?
The biggest problem here
Junior college? Yeah.
Problem here, Shelly, is that you've been smoking pot since you were 11, and that what it does block is the usual brain growth and development of adolescence. And so you need to actually literally develop the emotional systems that we're supposed to have been developing during that period of time. And that's hard to do when you're used to using pot as your way of regulating. You've got to find some way to be
so
okay.
So where? MA?
You know,
you want to quit?
She's not there yet.
I was going to say the bonfire. Yeah. You know, there's a couple of choices. You go to the counseling, you go through the pain that Drew talked about, or you go out to a beach party with a bunch of buddies, get really hammered, and walk around the bonfire trying to tell a story or sing a AC/DC song and fall into the bonfire. And there you go. But make sure someone's watching you so they yank you out before you
inhale.
Inhale and burn up. And in the hospital, when the doctor's scraping the dead skin from your hands, you'll have an epiphany, and there you go. The depression will be over because you'll know you've cured yourself.
All right.
There you go. We're here to help.
Trial by fire.
Check out MA in the meantime.
All right, Shelly.
A
lot of people like you with your story.
You got to get a plan, too. This junior college not working. All right?
All right.
All right. Christopher Titus in here tonight doing a benefit to Wiltern Theater this Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is in here tonight. Christopher is going to be at the Wiltern Theater doing stand-up along with his good buddy Jay Leno and Bill Maher. I wonder how Jay Leno and Bill Maher get along. They get along okay? They don't seem like the same...
No, same dude.
Same guy.
I don't know, you know, I don't know. I don't know, there was, you know, I went to, did Tonight Show on Thursday, and I was talking to Jay about the benefit, and he goes, ask Bill if he wants to close or what, have a wolf of a coin or something. Yeah. I was like, it's still that, well, who's going on light? You know, there's still like, has an attitude about it, has a problem with it. But yeah, I think so, I think they get along. I mean, if I get along with both of them, you know.
Mm.
No?
No.
No?
No. But Jay's a true car guy, and I'm sure, Chris, you talked to him about...
Did you ever see him, like, in a club, or did you only see him on Tonight Show?
I have seen Jay Leno, not in a club. I actually saw him at the amphitheater do his act, years ago. It was really funny.
Hard, man. He was, you know, everyone says in Tonight Show he's too soft, but, man, when he's in a live performance... He's got some really hard stuff.
Yeah, he was, this is 1,000 years ago, but I don't even know how somebody got me tickets or something, but it was a really good show. So you can see him, and it's kind of nice if you only know these guys from doing this sort of PG stuff on network television.
ABC finally got, I mean, ABC, you know, that Bill Lewis and Politically Incorrect was kind of a blow, but man, the new show on HBO is really good. Have you seen it?
Yes, I have seen it.
Pretty harsh, you know. He's getting he's actually better now. I think he's so great on the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Are the tickets gonna be expensive to the thing?
No. It's $35. We only have $35 and $50 seats left. I mean, we sold all the big money seats.
And is it?
We have a couple. If you want to, it's another number you can call. If you want like a $250 seat right up front, for the charity, it's you can call 818-461-9333, and we'll get you those. We only got a couple of those left though.
818-461-9333.
Yeah.
And again, the money is going right to
Chris,
right to Leno.
Cars.
No.
Wants to buy an old Indian motorcycle.
That's why I started my own charity with some friends of mine, because I would go to these charities and you read in the paper like 45% due to our staffing, 45% only goes to charity. And I was like, no. We're gonna do one event a year. The Insight Project will do one event a year, and you know, between like 86, figured out, because we just paid for the theater, 86 and 95% of the money goes directly to the charity.
How much does it cost? Now, what is that?
Pretty pricey.
2,500 seat, 3,000?
It's only like 1,600 seats.
Oh, it's
1,600. They remodeled it.
Oh, right. Yeah, they pulled some stuff out of there, I think. But anyway, it is, how much does it cost to get a theater like that on a Saturday night?
It's a nice little piece of change, man, frankly.
Tell
and they
us.
Gave us a little bit of a break, too.
They gave you a break?
They gave us a little break. It was like, it's a piece of change. I was shocked, actually, when I found out, because I've done theaters. When I did the show, I would do theaters, and I thought, we could do this. And then you hear what the theater costs, you're like, wow, really?
Is it 10 grand? Is it 15 grand?
It's around there, yeah. Around, but and that's for a benefit, too. That's for like, I mean, I guess it's like for, if it's a show that you're getting paid, making money on, it's like 23 grand.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's Saturday night price. There must be a Tuesday night price.
You think, like, it's like, yeah, it's $50. Bring a chick with you, and you get to rent the theater.
Fox is free. See the English letter calendar girls. Papa do run, run, playing the infield.
Those and they're 85, but they're Sha-na-na.
Bowser signing autographs. Eliminations, noon. No, qualification, noon, eliminations, other lights. Yeah, You remember all those commercials.
I love those. I lived 1 mile away from Fremont Drag Strip, man. I lived those commercials.
It was great because they would take the song Fox on the Run by Sweet, and they would blare it in the background, and then the guy would just start screaming stuff. And you couldn't. He's like, Shirley Cha-Cha, I'm a Chi-Town hustler. Yeah. And he'd create some sort of thing where he goes, Big Daddy Don Garland says that's his trophy this year. Shirley's got other ideas. Some go, some blow.
Yeah. Sunday.
That guy is Scott Mason's friend.
Is it?
Oh, really? The real guy?
I always thought it was like three guys because it'd always be like Sunday.
I always thought it'd be a great voice of the Terminator. It should have been that guy instead of Arnold.
Yeah, the guy was awesome. And once in a while, like as the commercials, these old drag strip commercials, any kind of racing commercials they used to do, they would once in a while he would start telling you how an engine worked. Like he'd go like. Nitromethane dropping on the ground, stopping to throw a match on a barely nothing, but put it inside a 500 cubic inch Hemi liquid dynamite,
and it's pure hell. Oh yeah,
that was great.
I love those guys.
It's a gut busting sport of warriors. And it was always,
and then there's always, and Hang Glider Bob will do the halftime show. Like Hang Glider Bob would get on a motorcycle and jump 15
human
buses.
Human stick of dynamite will climb inside a styrofoam cooler with nothing but a crash helmet in his wits and blow himself up.
Will he do it? We bet he will.
Bring the kids.
And Cokes are $4.
There's always some band you never heard of. It's always like Papa Do Run Run or some Kiss.
It's always off band. It wasn't like the Sha-na-nas. It was like the Shy-na-nas. It was always just a little off. Like there was one letter missing, so it wasn't really the good guys.
Specially erected stage in the infield. Shy-na-nas and Kiss are going to be performing.
The Temptations.
Yeah. English leather calendar girls. Tara?
Hello?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
All right. I have a question about menage a trois. I heard you talking about them earlier. Mm-hmm. I had one about 4 years ago with two
The
guys.
Texan! Oh, okay, sorry.
Two guys, and I really did not like it. And now I've been with the new guy for about 2.5 years. And he's been talking more and more about a menage a trois with another girl.
Why would you even consider it if it was something you really didn't like?
Well, she did the two guys.
Well,
the first time.
The thing is, I'm bisexual. I've had girlfriends before.
Mm-hmm.
So I myself would enjoy it, but I'm afraid.
But your vagina. No.
Not really weighed in yet.
Are you maybe in a moment of sanity here, are you afraid of how you might feel about seeing your boyfriend with this girl?
Exactly.
There you go.
And I'm afraid after 2.5 years if it would be something that would ruin our relationship.
The answer is
yes. 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 Yes.
Menage a trois this Sunday.
Yes, yes.
It'll destroy it.
Some relationship goes.
You and your boyfriend and the English.
Some blow.
The truth is, I haven't been sexually into my boyfriend at all, and I thought.
Well, that's a big problem. Might, but this will put a cap on it. This
take
will
a monogamous
end
relationship. No. Add one slutty transvestite chick. Liquid.
Next caller!
Wait, why don't you find out what she does for a living? I'm just curious.
Something to do with serving people either liquor or ass.
Yes.
Tara?
Yes?
What do you do for a living?
I'm a waitress.
Ah, right. Man, so there's serving going on.
Well,
mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm putting myself through school, so.
I see.
And, the junior college?
Oh, Drew, please, yes. And what does your boyfriend do?
He is a cook.
He's a cook. And you guys are stable and everything's working out?
No, it's not working out.
It's not working
fine
out.
Except our sex life.
She's not into the guy anymore.
Oh, I see, because he's not, he's not chaotic.
My car's great. It's real shiny. It doesn't run. Everything's great, but my sex life. That just doesn't.
Yeah,
right.
It's just hard because I've gotten more into wanting women again because I've been with one guy for so long. And
see, that
no
that to me are, means you just want some chaos. You want some closure.
You
want to
shake it up.
You want to shake it up and probably end this relationship.
Well, you're 21. Maybe you're done. It's 2.5 years. What do you think?
Well, and if you like women, why don't you do this? Instead of having your boyfriend, why don't you just wait till you know when your boyfriend's coming home and have you and two women there, and there you go. And then it's over. And you can just move on.
Yeah,
instead of going through the evil and the ugly of it, just get it done. Or just step up and go, you know what, it's over.
Yeah. All right?
Okay.
Have a foursome. Get one of the guys. Get Bowser from Sha-na-na, one of the English leather girls.
I can't, you know, I listen to your show all the time. I'm working in the garage in the car or something, and it always amazes me that people reveal themselves so quickly on the show. You know, hey, everything's great, I love him to death. And then, like, two sentences later, well, he smacks me around on Thursday night at 8, and then,
right.
then we don't have sex, and he's got a girlfriend. What?
I find that frustrating, because it kills me that what people put out as their life or their relationship is such BS. And there's so much BS everywhere in the media and our society that we have to go, no, stop. Stop the BS. Tell us what's we know that's not what's going on, thank God. Tell us what's really going on.
All right. Let's move forward and speak to LaDawn, who's 23. LaDawn?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys are great.
Thanks.
My boyfriend is exceptionally large.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I'm saying he's about 9 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been dating for about 4 months. And the first time we were together, you know, it hurt really bad, and he had to stop. And so now, just gradually, I kind of got used to him. And one night, we were having sex, and he went really deep, like, where it, like, popped. And it hurt, and it hurt him, and he stopped.
Oh, his penis
It hurt
popped.
Him.
Penis cracked.
Well, that's big. That's big. It hurt him.
His penis cracked?
No, he hit, like, you know how... Well, when you go so deep, there's like a wall.
It's your cervix.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I wish I knew that. I don't know that.
Yeah. Basically, it just straightens out.
You can tell by the cars I drive, I have one of the smallest penises on the planet.
I'm a big boy.
I've heard of the legendary wall, but I've only
exactly.
heard tale. Never actually right, seen go. It or felt
My
it.
My dad used to get us to gather us around and tell us about the wall, the mythical wall that none of us would ever see.
Here's what happens here, gentlemen.
One of you will have
so
the ring.
The penis goes up to here, and when it does, it sort of flips this over. It straightens it all out.
He's got the book, the anatomy book out. Okay. So what happens?
Here, and this thing, it gets up to the cervix here and pushes even further, and actually the uterus will even flip up, and that's the kind of popping.
That's like,
oh, so the uterus flipping was the popping?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, that's like not a good sentence.
It hurt.
Not bad.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, we're looking at a picture Drew's showing us right now, and your uterus flipped over.
Yeah, you rolled your uterus.
Yeah, you know, like when you blow those things at a party as a little kid, you go. That's pretty much what happened.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly what happened. That pretty much is exactly what happened.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's not a good thing then.
Yeah, but so you just gotta keep him. You gotta keep a certain depth.
Yeah.
So you know what? Get a Sharpie, and
graduate his penis.
There you go. You mark off. You mark off. You know, it's like
Plimsoll line.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Love Grommet.
So Mark Twain got his name.
Love Grommet.
Yeah, I have this idea for Grommet. It's one of those. It actually inspired me back in the day. Christopher, you probably know this. Motorcycles, they made a grip called the Donkey Dick. I guess I'm allowed to say that. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they
that's
did.
What they called it.
Yeah, they actually did.
And it was a motorcycle grip that didn't come out at the end. Didn't have that rubber end. It just was straight. Just slid over the bar and stopped. And if you used one of those. Or even if you used a regular grip, they had these donuts, these little leather donuts your size, so you wouldn't pinch your thumb in the clutch and the whatever.
Right.
And so I decided if you took one of these, you made it a little thicker, and you put it around your penis, it would act as a sort of bump stop.
There you go.
And you get a little recoil action, too. You know, kicks you out a little.
Don't have to work so hard.
That's what I'm saying. Difference between playing in, you know, high tops and playing in hirachis.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? I'm playing high tops, my friend. All right, so maybe the love grommet would work. Yeah. I don't know. If
definitely on that
it.
Guy. Definitely. And she didn't say, you know, he's big. She said he was long. Didn't say was he
why?
You know, was he beefsteak or
could,
beer can? You know, you gotta
he could do that maneuver that maneuver you've patented with the being able to maneuver the penis with the full.
I can't
grip.
Do that.
I know, but this guy could do that.
Oh. Yeah.
And just not go deeper. Not leave
just
the hand.
Keep the hand there. Yeah, but it's hard. It's hard to hold yourself up with one hand.
Yeah, you fall over.
It's a rocky move. Desmond.
Yes.
You're 20.
Oh yeah. You guys are great. I listen
great.
To you guys all the time.
Thanks.
All right. Well, basically, this question is mainly directed for Drew.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I would say.
Whatever. Keep going.
Hello?
Keep going.
Okay. I'm with my girlfriend now, and I've been with her since last June. And when we first met, she told me that she was being molested by her uncle ever since she was, you know, from 5 years old, ever since she was 13.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, like, it hurts our relationship because I don't trust her and she doesn't trust me because I think she's promiscuous from what I hear you guys saying, like if girls are molested.
Blah, blah, blah. Not specifically.
It doesn't always translate into that.
Okay.
Yeah, but so here's what it does. I mean, oftentimes, and it doesn't have to be this for your girlfriend, but sometimes when people were molested, they get sort of hypersexual. They have a lot of partners, and they get really into it, and then there's times when they're sort of dormant.
Shut
close
down.
That's when I meet them.
Yeah.
I meet them when they're not yet a butterfly. They're still in the cocoon.
Chrysalis.
Yes.
But they could still be trustworthy, but just have a lot of chaos in their life.
Yeah, little energy.
Like, we fight, like, every week, dude, and I don't know, like, she doesn't trust me at all, because, like, I go to school, and she'll ask me, you know, did you see a girl today or whatever,
yeah.
And I'll be like, yeah, and then she's like, well, you flirted with her, you know.
Well, here's the thing, is she getting any help?
She was, and she just stopped this summer.
Okay, here's the thing.
Because her... I'm sorry.
I'm going to give a car analogy for our guest, Christopher, so
much
on automobiles. But this, and now look, you can have yourself a nice 50s Jag if you have a few bucks in the bank, you have a good job, and it's your third car.
Right.
That's your prerogative. That's your weekend thing. It's not going to run all the time. That's fine. You got a grocery getter. You got the Taurus. But 50s Jag does not make a good first car when you're in college.
No.
And that's essentially what happens for these guys who get hooked up with these people that were victims of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
They're 23. They're not mechanics. They can't fix it. They don't have the checkbook to fix it.
She's wired with Lucas Electrical. She's
melting down
half the time.
That's right. Drew Lucas. Very, very
suspension.
Bad English
suspension?
Stuff.
Not big
suspension problems, more electrical problems. Yeah. But the point is this is not a good car for you to have when you're in college.
Definitely.
And this is what he's got. So it's a full-time maintenance job. Now, if the car is going to therapy, then maybe you could work with it.
If you find that old guy, that old 80-year-old guy that only works on those cars, you got to find that guy.
And you can park that car there all the time.
Right. Yeah. But if it's just going to be parked out front, getting crapped on and getting covered with sap, and you think you're going to drive it every day, it's going to break down every other day. It's going to be a hellish life. So your choices are either get the car into the old man or sell the car and get yourself an Explorer.
So
Maxima.
The Japanese car. That's the answer to your problem.
Japanese car's great. They're hairless. Yeah, they're subservient. They're great.
And one thing about these, the jealousy. Jealousy
they're
number
tight,
one, is
too. The Japanese car, very tight.
Very tight. And obedient. The jealousy thing is just pretty harsh, man. And I found that women that were like that, did you? What are you looking at? What are you doing? They don't cheat. I had some girlfriends that were just psychotically crazy jealous. The ones that weren't were the ones that I found were sleeping with the janitor at the comedy club.
Right.
It was the ones that were really jealous. Did you look at her? They're usually not cheating. They're just, like Drew said, they need turmoil. They need some sort of turmoil, and they'll create the fight so they have that instead of having to cheat.
And you could handle that now at your age with your experience. But when you were 22, no way.
Yeah, right.
One of the things people do when they're getting so focused on jealousy like that is they feel bad about themselves. They feel not worth the relationship. They expect abandonment from people they feel strongly about. And so their expectation is you're going to leave them. And so the thing they fear the most, they actually create. They actually push them away.
Right.
They make them leave. So at least they're in control of
so
this
be aware,
thing that they expect anyway.
So be aware of that, man. The more she asks you, if you're looking at her, what are you doing? That's actually, in a weird way, just see it as a sign of how much she cares for you and try to react. If you can react out of that, you might have a chance. If not, seriously, Maxima, you got to move on.
Get the Japanese car. Yes. They don't talk back. Hopefully their tires were bound when they were young, so they're smaller. Smaller, like 45s, 50 series tires. All right. Sam?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
What's up?
I had a question for Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering how you got your start in Hollywood, because I'm interested in getting into like the arts and stuff.
Into the arts?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I worked in comedy clubs where drunk guys threw stuff at me since I was 18.
These two guys are artistes, let me tell you.
Yeah, the arts. You want to get to the arts. Even someone calling it the arts makes me laugh. How
did you get started?
I had no other skills. I fell into the bonfire the year before. I had no other skills. Wanted to be a comic since I was five, but I had a dad going, what, are you kidding me? No way. No way in hell. You're not talented. You're a schmuck. Whatever.
Right.
And so finally I fell in the bonfire, and then when the doctor said I would have died, I said, well, I'm going to be a comic. Whether I suck at it or not, I'm going to try.
Right.
And I went up on stage, man, and I just, you know, I got to tell you, man, here's what you got to know. Hollywood is this big, there's 55 concentric walls. And right now, I'm maybe four walls in. Adam's about five walls. Man, four. You got two shows. Five walls in, maybe. And Brad Pitt, and actually Nicholson is in the center. Nicholson and Harrison Ford. And then Brad Pitt's not even at the center yet. He's like two walls out of the center.
Right.
And you know what, man? You just got to keep banging your head. And the outside wall is a really ugly wall. It's like an old, like, Irish wall that no one has worked on. And then the center wall is this platinum wall.
Guarded by a bunch of Huns.
It's ugly. And you got to keep banging your head against the wall, man. All you got to do is do what you're going to do. If you want to be a comic, be a comic. If you want to be a musician, pick up a guitar. But all these people that whine about, I'm not going to be famous, you know, oh, it's really hard. Well, you know, you're not banging your head hard enough against a wall. And the people that don't make it are the people that stop banging their head against the wall.
Right.
And you just got to keep banging your head against the wall. Yeah, you know, go ahead. Now, Drew, that relates to my life, doesn't it? I raised my father. Everything's violent and painful.
Well, here's the other thing, too, is it doesn't have to be a miserable experience.
There's fun on the way, but you can't give up.
Well, I think if you want to do comedy or you want to act or you want to play music, if that's your love and that's what you're able to do.
The arts, as it were.
Then you're enjoying your life.
Right. You're doing what you...
But if you decide that you need to be famous and you'll go about that any way you can and anything short of that goal, you're going to be miserable, then you probably will be miserable. Yeah, I mean, you did comedy because
I tried to be famous for a long time. For 10 years, I tried, like, did comedy. Hey, you ever notice when you go on the airplane and the blinker's on? I mean,
right.
I did really crap, and then I got really clear that the only way... That once whatever you're doing, the arts, once you cross the line to the arts, where you're actually like Norman Rockwell's Bleeding, the play, it was about people being from screwed up families, you know, it was about getting them to know how much stronger they were. Once you unlock that and you're actually trying to make a difference, whether everyone says that, whatever that means, at that point you're actually in the arts, and at that point that's when everything will happen. But if you just want to be a comic and learn three chords and be a musician, it's just, if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Like, and Adam is in the arts.
Yeah, that's, look at me, I make jack-off jokes complain about my garbage
bin. But it is an interesting point he makes, that people that kind of stick around are doing it because, you call it doing something good, I'm pointing at Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling it making a difference. I think it's the same thing.
What do you mean?
I think people that stick around and continue to just work in media, do it because they need to make a difference.
Yeah,
need to do something worthwhile.
And when you do it crappy, you start growing a tumor on your soul. That's what I called it. I was going to quit. I was going to open a body shop. 10 years into comedy, I was like, this sucks. I hate it. I don't want to do these crap jokes anymore. And I was going to open a body shop.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
When you're talking about doing something good, I think you're saying the same thing as making a difference.
Yeah. Well, I...
Blah, blah, blah.
That's right, Jeff.
No, Adam's masturbation jokes have been a lot more eloquent in the last 5 years. I've noticed.
Thank you.
You're not as harsh?
Well...
not as harsh. And they've got a lot of more... just je ne sais quoi.
So far tonight, that's because I've made them all for him.
Well, you know what the ladies like? They like giving me oral. But there's also a couple of things that need to be said, which is not everyone is good. There are people that are bad. Mm-hmm. And if you're bad... If you're a bad musician, if you're a bad computer programmer, if you're a bad comic, if you're a bad actor, you might not work that much.
Well,
and you don't deserve to make a living if you're not good at doing something.
Well, that would be a case, though, for being able to accept reality.
Like every kid grows up wanting to play. I wanted to play football. Everybody wants to be an astronaut, wants to be a professional baseball player. But at a certain point, your skill, you realize that you do not possess the skill to play at that level.
I can't race motocross.
Reality sets in, and you must earn a living. Sometimes in show business, I think people get so fixated on somebody keeping them down or who you know, that they never confront that reality of, hey, maybe they're just not good enough from a skill level to do it.
But no one faces that in a relationship or anything.
Mm.
You don't just go, you know what, I got to accept that I suck. You just, no one ever faces that.
It would be nice. Mm. It would
look,
be nice.
I mean, look at me. Just keep going. Just keep plugging.
Tonight, Adam will come to terms.
I'll start a fire on the hall.
We'll help you out, man.
This time's not coming out. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. But everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. He's going to be down at the Wheel Turn Theater, and that is coming up on this Saturday. He's going to be there with Jay Leno, Bill Maher, John Lovitz, and other comedians. Anthony Clark. This is a. I don't know when you're going to get guys this big together under one roof again, ever again. So go down to the Wheel Turn, and it's for a real good cause. The money is going to Chris's charity,
Hathaway House.
Which does what again?
They basically take in kids 8 to 17. These kids, like, if you're 4 years old and you got cancer, there's money thrown at you. They're throwing money at you.
Yep.
But if you're 14 and all you have is an attitude because your parents were dicks,
right?
You're pretty much screwed. So these are like, these kids would end up throwaway kids, which would be homeless kids breaking into your house without Hathaway House raising them until they're 17 years
old. And Chris was. The plans to have a whole new department there, the bonfire therapy.
Yeah, bonfire therapy. I'm starting that. It's very cheap. Well, not all the money from the charity will be going towards the bonfire. We're actually going to build them a dental wing, burn center, and a bonfire therapy wing.
Well, I think Chris is saying what we've known from doing this show for quite some time, which is this is you invest a few pennies, and it's really pennies on the dollar. I mean, when you talk about welfare and having multiple kids out of wedlock and prisons and judges and court appointed this and that. I mean, these guys at 14, 15 may not be costing us too much just yet, but believe me, they're going to have an entire adulthood of substance abuse, taking up beds in county hospitals, crime. It just
cruising through your neighborhood going, you know what, I wasn't raised by it. I hate my mom and dad, no one helped me, and you know what, I want to break into that guy's house.
Right.
Maybe a home invasion robbery. But we can avoid all that at the Wiltern Saturday night.
That's right. And also, these guys, I mean, just the cost to society that these people, and none of them are going to pay taxes because they're going to be in and out of prison or working under the table. Possibly employed by me working on one of my
But because houses. Of Hathaway House, these kids won't. They'll be tax-paying members of our society and neighbors.
Yeah. You know, one of the... Well, hopefully not neighbors.
Just trying to not... Adam's put such a... You can darker spin and darker spin.
But, we do know that if you can get to these people early on, you can make a difference. And I don't know why the government is not so interested in this. It doesn't seem to be a concern of theirs. And I'm guessing because it doesn't really win you any elections to say you love teenagers. It's more children are our future, and we got to take care of Social Security.
Yeah, we haven't had a good leader that put it clearly. Look, if you put it clearly, look, let's put it to people that rich people. If these kids don't get help, They're going to be raping your daughters, breaking into your house, and they're these and Hathaway House is helping these kids, turning these kids into neighbors, and they've been to on average 22 foster homes.
Or worse, getting becoming publicists.
There you go.
It's unthinkable, but it could happen. Some of these kids. No, I here's what I want. I want a politician to come out and go, listen, I hate teenagers as much as you do. I got two at home. I'd like to kill them right now. But let's face it, we got to sink a couple bucks into these kids, straighten them out, get them on some birth control, get them educated, get them some job skills, or it's going to bite us in the ass.
And they've actually studied what it is that turns kids around from at-risk environments. And the one thing that this one very large-scale study found was a single positive, sustained relationship with an adult outside the home.
And comedy, comedy, comedy at the Wiltern Saturday night.
Jay Leno, be there, some go, some blow. Little Billy Maher's going to be there. Johnny Lovitz is going to be there.
Billy the Mongoose Maher.
Shirley Cha-Cha Madonna, the Texan Billy be here.
Mark Anthony Clark.
TV Tommy Ivo.
Big Daddy.
So you mean just a relationship with like just an adult that hangs out that they know is going to be there for them?
Apparently that has a major, major protective role.
Yeah. Doesn't seem like a really, insightful. They had to do a study on that? You mean if there's someone older and smarter around them who can help them lead their lives better, that would help them?
It actually went backwards. They went into these homes and they took these horrible homes and they went, oh my God, half of these kids turn out okay. How could that be? Well, then they started looking at them, what do they have in common, and this is what they all had in common.
Yeah, Willie the Hobo at the train tracks helped that one kid. He was in the kid's life all the time.
They've actually started to dial it back a little further, and then what they're finding is a guy up in the Northern Plains, the university up there, is finding that secure attachments in childhood, if they get 6 months, a year of secure attachment to mom, that protects them, and then they seek a secure attachment in the outside environment. And wow. that tends to be what really.
So my kid's up. Fine. We got 19 months. I could all hell could break loose now. There we go.
They can have problems, but it's protective. It protects them.
Oh, that's cool.
Amy.
Caller who goes by Amy from Arizona.
Amy. All right. Haven't had that in a while. Wasn't sleeping.
Maybe.
Rob? Yeah, hey. Only been at home for 12 minutes. You're 35?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I was going to ask Christopher. I'm a incurable motorhead myself. What do you think about slower traffic keep right laws and the fact that they don't enforce them?
What kind of keep right laws?
Slower traffic keep right and why they're not enforced. The laws.
Wow, that is the silliest question that I could. I think you should move to Germany if it pisses you off.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. I like slower traffic keep right.
No, I like it. But I mean, I'm just saying that. What do? Shoot them in Germany? If someone rear ends you in the fast lane, it's your fault.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
And that's what I'm saying. Move to Germany. I think I should lead the revolt. Is what I think.
I figure, Drew and you guys are always saying you've got the stupidest callers. So I figured you're the audience that should hear this.
Yeah. Well, here's my plan for. I've worked out an equation to figure out what speed it's safe for you to travel on the freeway.
Okay.
I got a couple ideas.
All right.
First off, if the speed limit is 65 and there's hail coming down and torrential rains and you're going 65, a cop can pull you over and say you're traveling at an unsafe speed. It may not be faster than the posted speed limit, but, the road's covered with ice and you're going 65.
Valid.
But what about when there's nobody in the road? The sun's at high noon, and you're driving a car that's capable of going 170 miles an hour, and you're going 90 miles an hour, and again, it's safe to travel at that speed. Shouldn't they use the same logic when it's above the speed limit?
I agree, 100%.
Here's my plan.
In fact, I think it should be at 150. Then you got a 20-mile bumper in case you need to pass anybody who's also doing 170.
You have a speed rating on your tire, you know? There's there's different speed ratings on tire.
Right.
If you have a tire that's speed rated to, let's say, 170 miles an hour, we deduct your age from the speed rating. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're a 75-year-old guy and you got some cheap tires that are just speed rated like 110 miles an hour, you can only go like 22 miles an hour. That is your top speed. But if you're like a 14-year-old who's got a vet with some good years, some gator backs on
it. The formula includes the... speed rating of the tire, the age, and the horsepower of the engine.
Right. No.
And the age of the car. No.
Drew, will you shut up?
No.
You're screwing up his whole formula.
What, horsepower, age of the car?
Drew, I'm sorry about all the car stuff, dude. I'm
just
so
quiet
sorry.
Down over there, Drew.
Next time I'm driving up in like just a Tercel.
I'm 38 years old. I got speed rated tires 170 miles an hour. That means my top speed is 132. You see what I'm saying? We deduct my age from the speed rating on the tire.
Well, now I had a Viper on 99 at 2 a.m. in the morning. I was doing. I got in a race with a vet, and I was going. The Viper's capable of 186.
Right.
At one point in the middle of the night, I was doing 160.
Right.
So now, I was actually 12 miles over my speed.
You could
have been cited for 12 over.
If you found a cop that was ticky-tack enough, because you're going 160, really, he could write you.
Just have a hard-on for me. Oh, that guy's 12 over. Okay. All right. I got it. So I'll keep it down.
Right. You got to keep it down to 148.
There you go. 148 is my stop speed. Thank you, Adam.
This is the other platform I'm going to run on, besides punishing teens. Leanne?
Yes?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Okay. I'm a little nervous right now. My question is, I'm taking the abortion pill. I just took it a couple days ago, and they told me to avoid taking alcohol, Advil, and weed because it will make your blood thinner.
You're taking the RU-486 pill?
Yeah.
The actual abortion pill. All right.
Yeah.
Where did you get it?
At a clinic.
All right. Yeah, the weed's probably not a big deal. If that's what you're worried about, not that big a deal.
Okay, so it's not going to make me have to go to the hospital or anything?
Well... I wouldn't think so. It's not the way aspirin or something like that could from the bleeding. When you abort, you could bleed quite a bit, and the bleeding can become sort of uncontrolled.
It could freak you out, though, if you're high and you thought, I basically ate some Roundup for my baby. I'm gonna harsh your Mel, but that could be kind of freaky.
Harsh your Mel?
That's what the kids say, Jerome.
Ate harsh some Roundup?
Well, like the squirt on the weed.
I get what it means. I know what it is.
Well, it could freak you out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying.
Okay, but, and I was also wondering...
Yeah, a good time, so, you know.
How old are you, bud? How old?
19.
19.
How long what?
How long does it take to for the egg to actually come out? Because I haven't really had any real severe cramping or anything yet.
I don't know if you always expel it. It's not an egg. It's a fertilized, a fetus.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, Drew, again, with the harsh in the mouth. Yeah. Now who's harsh in the mouth?
I'm harsh in it.
How pregnant are you or were you?
About 9 weeks.
About 9 weeks. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Drew, don't say nothing. All right. At 9 weeks, you would expel something, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good times. You know.
Thank you.
All right. There you go. That's all right. She's doing great.
Good time,
right? She expels it that
we had a
washes up on the shore of Fresno.
Oh, right, you know, so. We had a 14-year-old niece of my wife's is pregnant, and on her family, and they won't.
So not just your family's crazy.
You know, I married into my wife's great. I just married into this family. It's good, and she's 14, and you know, I talked to the mom. Calls the house today. Hey, how you guys doing? I'm, hey, I'm going to school. I'm going to be a paralegal. And I go, how's the kid doing? And they say, oh, you know, she's pregnant. Yeah, she's 14. We had like a big talk about it. And she's like, "What are we going to do?" I guess in California, if you are of 13, they said if you're 13 years old, I don't understand that you can be a parent, have a 14-year-old pregnant, and you don't have any say that can stay or.
That's
or,
a Billy Jack rule.
Well, what are you talking about?
No, look.
What is a Billy Jack? What do you mean?
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Don't you remember that film? That wasn't there.
Yeah.
Wasn't he hanging out with a real young girl or something? Wasn't that
Billy Jagger?
You talking about the movie Billy Jagger?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was protecting this school of sort of misfits up on the hill. You know, Indians trying to do their thing and be free. The white man.
That was all the Billy Jack movies.
Sheriff kind of looked like you, Christopher.
Yeah, well.
All right, but yeah. So what Christopher's asking is if your child is a minor, is under 18,
you can't force them to have an abortion.
You can't.
I don't think so. Not in California.
If they're over 13 or...
I think it's over 14.
All right. Well, all I know
is... It seems so wrong to let this kid, you know...
You better get this new future tense series off the ground because you got another mess.
This is the same kid. This is the same kid that set a firehouse on fire when she was like 9.
Firehouse?
She set a firehouse on fire, which I think she's pretty smart. She gets irony. Which I thought that was pretty cool. That's pretty smart. That's almost funny.
All right, you're going to be paying, though. Believe it. We'll talk during the breaks. I got more people on my payroll now, too, I married into. Drew's lucky. You know, I talk a little smack about his wife, but his wife's dad owns a hardware store.
See?
No good to Drew because Drew's pure puss, but having a dad who owns a hardware store is pretty cool. I mean, a father-in-law is a pretty cool thing, right?
Did Drew hook you up with a discount?
Are you high?
No.
Because, you know, Adam's the...
I would if you come over and build my daughter's treehouse the way you promised 2 years
take
ago.
Take a picture of the site. I'll show it to my boys.
Of the site.
Of the site. I'm going to have it surveyed. I'm going to shoot some elevations this
buy
weekend.
Buy some steaks and some of that red ribbon. Put that around, and Adam will be over.
Yeah, there'll be a guy at the transit. He's wearing a reflective vest. He'll be there about 6 a.m. on Sunday.
Basically going to dig a 6-foot trench around the tree and then leave it there for 4 weeks. That's what's going to happen. Get ready.
Titus is here. Christopher Titus, it is. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, buddy. It's Bloodline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Christopher Titus is in here tonight. He's going to be doing stand-up this Saturday along with Jay Leno and Bill Maher and John Lovitz and Anthony Clark. And it's going to be all for the Hathaway Children's Family Services, which is Christopher's charity, and it's going on this Saturday at the Wiltern Theater. Phone, tell you what, go to Ticketmaster.com.
Do you want to go
to any information about this?
You and I?
Well, it's a benefit, so you got paid, right?
Yeah, you got paid.
That's you and your wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I could do this.
You could introduce more.
Is this this Saturday?
Saturday night, 8 o'clock.
What time?
8 o'clock.
Well, it's the kind of thing, I think we, I can speak for you, we would love to support this kind of thing. This is right up our alley.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
We got a couple of Big Shot tickets if you want those.
And see, this is what
Uncle Adam.
Now we're in trouble.
We got to back out the show. Yeah, we'll be there.
Because LA people want to get comped. It's a benefit. Yeah, I know. Can you hook me up? Well, there's no list. Yeah, I know. Can I just get a couple tickets to the game? Well, hook me up to the... It's a benefit.
No, we'll go. We'll pay full price, and I'll buy like $80 worth of beer. Is there serve booze there?
There is.
Or do I got a flask?
There is.
Oh, there's beer. Good. You know, I was talking about with someone today, which is the guy who got drunk, who jumped out on the field and decided to attack the umpire for baseball.
Which
umpire?
Comiskey Park?
I love it. Finally, baseball was fun.
It happens every 3 days now.
I love that.
I know, but here's the real tragedy of this event. Not the damage that could happen to the officials, the umpires, but the fact beer prices are now going
to
go up another $3 a cup.
To resist, to get them not to drink so much?
Yeah, they do that all the time. It's like, we got to charge $9 for 16 ounces of beer because this prevents people. Nah, this just makes a good angry drunk.
Yeah, now I'm angry. Now I'm broke, really angry. Yeah.
And right.
But the extra price of beer can cover the insurance for the umpires.
Right. You guys may not be aware, they're changing the name of Comiskey Park to like, you know, some kind of cellular service park.
Oh, really?
And there are people not happy about that.
It seems to me that it's a U.S. Cellular Park.
Is it? Yeah.
Old screen of Brian tells us. It seems to me that whether we've talked about this before, whether it be a stretch of highway or ballpark, I mean, if you're Jack Murphy or you're the widow of Jack Murphy out in San Diego and they decide to start calling you Qualcomm or something, like, wait a minute, you can't pull my deceased husband's name off this park and put someone else's name on it? Is that the whole thing about... I mean, it's not a rotating name thing. They name a park, whether it's an amusement park, you know, whether it's a park the kids play in or a ballpark.
Maybe she should write a check. She should write a check, then. There you go.
I guess.
That's what they came to her with.
I guess so, but I mean,
maintain
like...
this name.
I mean, there's certain people that aren't going to have the name changed. You know, MLK, JFK. There's certain places that will not be changed. But, you know, I mean, yes, there's great people and... You know, and they're 50 years ago.
What if we
now
find, like, a president we like better than Lincoln? Should we do a different memorial or a monument?
I agree with that. Yeah, I think we should. George Bush, we haven't found the guy yet.
Doesn't work.
We don't got the guy.
You know,
we haven't had a great leader in so long. A great leader.
Well, you know what would be really cool is to go ahead in the future, a few hundred years, and see. I mean, they do those Reagan libraries and stuff, but I'm talking about something that's made of cement and towers, you know, 200 stories. I'm talking about, you know, if you saw Jimmy Carter.
Corolla
or Clinton,
Center.
That's got a ring.
That's what he's angling for.
Yeah. Katie?
Hello?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been going out with my boyfriend for maybe like 9 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that he had been cheating on me.
Okay.
First of all, it was my best friend for a while.
All right, what's your question?
Okay, well, he's trying to get back together with me.
Don't do it.
He says so.
No. Don't do it.
Yeah. We don't need to hear what after him. Yeah. He says. After that, you don't even need to know. And he says.
You're screwing around with your best friend? No, forget it.
There's three guys sitting here. We know exactly what he's saying. Yeah. And it's going to be a lie, frankly.
Yeah. Right. And your best friend's not your best friend anymore.
No, she's not at all.
Good times.
But you're one of these chicks I love so much who's angry at the best friend but willing to forgive the guy.
And take him back.
No, well, he's making an effort and she's not.
Yeah, well, he's making an effort. It's called manipulation.
Yeah.
It's called wanting to get laid.
And he wants to get laid and she's scared. I mean, that's where the effort's coming
he's
from.
He's making an effort and she's
not. Well, how long do they have this affair?
About like 8 of the 9 months.
No, are you even considering this? No, Katie.
And shouldn't he be getting back together with her? I mean, he was seems
more
like
with
spent
her.
More time with her.
He says that he did it like for his ego.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
Well, at least he's being pretty honest.
Yeah.
At least he's frankly coming clean on that. But you know what? I mean, are your parents together? Your parents stay together?
Yeah, they are.
No divorce?
No, not at all.
Nobody cheated on anybody?
No.
Alcoholism in the family, anything?
Mm-mm.
Good. Then you should be healthier than you are.
Yeah, exactly. Then you
don't know why your esteem is so low that you'd allow somebody like this into your life.
Your call got in the way of someone who really needs help.
There you go.
Yeah. You're fine. Just dump
the guy. Move
on.
Dump the guy, move on.
And listen, everybody, there's I got a good positive message to give to the kids. There is a strength that you gain when you do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're walking down the street, you see a guy's wallet pop out of his back pocket, you pick it up, and for a moment you think, I got some money here.
You count the money anyways.
You count the money, and then you chase the guy down and give him his wallet.
Yeah.
It builds you up. It makes you stronger. Yep. When you dump someone, you need to dump because they deserve it, and you have your pride and your dignity, it makes you a better person. It makes you a stronger person. You need to build on that. It's good for you. It's
now, there'll be moments. There'll be moments if you really cared about them. After you, because when you say we're done, you walk away feeling strong, and then the next day you're gonna be curled up in your bed on a fetal position, screaming like a monkey that's been stabbed. But
overall,
that will go away.
Strong monkey,
and you'll be stronger.
Right.
Yeah,
Liz,
exactly.
22. Liz.
Hi, I am studying to be an opera singer, and I'd like to start taking birth control. But I have some concerns because I've heard that the higher hormone versions of the birth control can cause problems with your vocal cords, drying them out, and basically making it harder to sing.
Isn't that interesting? I thought that was a very interesting question. And now that it can change the sort of thickness of your cords. It can change your upper register, and the progesterone has antigenic features in it. It's a very significant question. I would
think.
Yeah, it's a very, very interesting question. You wouldn't notice it in someone's speaking voice, but when you're really trying to work the voice the way you do.
No. Sing along, Liz. Dr. Drew.
And we'll judge whether you should go on it or not.
Drew, what were you on, low overall here, or progesterone? What were you taking?
Triphasic?
It sounds like it. The triphasic is best for the German stuff. In Italian, it would be the low overall stuff.
The
monophasic?
Depo Provera.
Depo shots, good for Italian. Hey, Liz?
Yes.
So do you talk to a gynecologist?
Your teachers must, your coaches must know something about this, right?
Well, a lot of them just recommend not to take it.
But yeah.
I noticed that when I get my period, my vocal cords swell up, and I get a lot of air in my tone, and it really just becomes a mess. And that's part of the reason that I want to start taking it anyway.
Why don't you start out with just a medium, strength estrogen and progesterone, like a monophasic medium strength, and see where you're at.
I usually find for the female opera singers, the most effective birth control is the extra 300 pounds and the horned helmet.
Yeah, that always helps.
That seems to be more effective than any pill. We'll take a quick break. Chris Titus is here, and we'll be right back.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We'll keep our fingers crossed for Chris's new NBC pilot. And tell everyone to head on out to the Will Turn this Saturday to see Bill Maher and Christopher and
Jay Leno.
Jay Leno,
Anthony Clark, John Lovitz.
John Lovitz. It's going to be a who's who of great comedians. And again, for a very worthy cause. So go out and support that. And go on the Ticketmaster website.
Yeah, that's where you go.
And find out all the information about that. Good talking to you again, Chris.
It's always a blast, man. Thanks, guys.
So until next time, it's Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
We say, we're done. You walk away feeling strong, and then the next day you're going to be curled up in your bed on a fetal position screaming like a monkey that's been stabbed.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.